looking at me like that, or that, you know, you get these filters, and then you start feeling like that it's coming from everywhere. And that's most of the time isn't so. We're just having a imaginative speculation going on there, and it starts getting away with people, and we've all suffered it. So, you know, then there's rejection. There's jealousy. There's being offended by which I want to mention to you that jealousy and being offended are sins. Yeah. In case y'all didn't know that, it's a sin to stay offended. And I don't know. I kind of feel like that today that there are groups of people who just don't get that. You know, they're just going, well, you know. But it is true. So whatever you're observing is going to lead to your decisions. And so demon spirits are going to help you with that. They're going to come along. Familiar spirits are going to help you with that. And they could be things that have been hanging around you and your family for years. Hopefully we're all growing past this, but it's still something you need to keep up with. Watch what you're doing. So be mindful of what you observe. Cast down imaginations. Think about what you're thinking about. Pastor Nancy says, you want to know how you're worrying about something? If you're thinking about it. That's just the truth. And so we really have to get a hold of our thoughts. So, because if you don't, you're going to end up accusing and hating and just about everybody. And you won't trust anyone in life. It'll just everybody will end up being your enemy. And I've seen it over and over. But that's not how God called us to live. So be mindful of that. And then there's getting mad at God. Church, there's not a person listening to me except for maybe someone online who doesn't know better. It isn't God. It's us. So, it's really on you. Now, I'm going to read to you Jonah 2:8. Remember Jonah? Everybody remember Jonah? They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. So God told Jonah to go preach at Nineveh. Remember? So he ran away. He didn't want to do what God said. He thought he had a better idea. No, I'm going to do it this way. No, I'm going to do it this way. No, I'm going to do it this way. No, I'm going to do it this. You know, he just wasn't going to do it. So he missed it. But you know what? He repented. And he's sitting in the whale, you know, the big fish, whatever it was. And he said this. He said, I can either sit here and dwell on my predicament, or I can close my eyes and think about the divine mercy that belongs to me. And he chose to do that. He chose to think about the mercy that God would have for him. So he said, I can either observe the problem or I can observe the answer. And so if I observe the problem, I'm going to forsake my own mercy. But if I observe the answer, that's going to pull me to the answer, right? Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. So many people watch the symptoms, the pain, the bad reports. And then they wonder why God's mercy doesn't show up. But Jonah made the right choice. He decided, he repented, and he said, I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know how God will get me to Nineveh, but God's going to get me there. And so he tunes back into God, and he's right back on the right path. So he observed the answer instead of the problem. We can observe the heat, or we can observe the covenant. God's mercy came through for him. So they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. So it's just so true. And you know, the Bible doesn't teach us to observe the problem or the people with the problem or the behavior or make ourselves the judge of other people. That's not our job. It's not our job to start hating on other people because they're not doing what we want them to. I'm preaching really good right now. Because that's just the truth. That's not our job. We should cast down imaginations when it comes to other people's behavior. So what you need to do, come here. You need to look at yourself. I need to look at myself. because it's me. Because as long as self is in the center and Christ isn't, you're going to have a problem. And that's just the truth. You have to judge yourself. And listen, people just make decisions based on the craziest things. Just the craziest things. Things that aren't even true. But I'm believing that we're going to be wiser people than that. That we're not just going to skip off on things that aren't so. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, God says, obey what I tell you. He would have skipped all that if he'd have just said, yes, Lord, I'll go to Nineveh. Right? He didn't have to come out. He didn't have to be vomited up by a big fish. Ugh, that was probably pretty slimy. But it's just true. I mean, at least the fish, God sent the fish to save him, you know. At least he didn't just drown. So that's a good thing. But some things just don't need to happen. Things don't need to get so bad if we'll just get a hold of our imaginations and get ourselves out of the center. Amen. So, Church, Jesus sees our primary war against the devil as a fight to believe truth over lies. That's your fight. That's your battle. Deception is the big thing with the enemy. Well, what are they thinking? Well, what about? Go with the truth. And if you don't know the truth, stick with the truth. Yeah. Amen. You know, truth over lies. Not just lies that people tell you. But lies that the devil's telling you and trying to make you think, so, well, you're not going to make it. Well, this, well, that, well, so-and-so hates you. Well, blah, blah, blah. Well, they did this to me and they did that to me. And, you know, yeah, I think I will go there. When you get offended and you start going around poisoning other people, you have no idea the damage you're doing to people. You poison other people about somebody. You don't like the way I treated you or something. And you go around and you tell everybody, blah, blah, blah. And you start poisoning other people. It's a bad situation. And people don't realize that. It's beyond, way beyond high school. Because it's going to come back on you. It'll come back on you. And so, we want to make sure that we don't, leave a bad trail of that. You receive that? Okay. So the devil brings deception and then the flesh picks up on it because it plays into these disordered desires. Did you hear me? Did you hear that? This is how things work. This is how things work that cause you to fall into darkness. The devil brings deception. Okay. Then the flesh picks it up because it plays on disordered desires. The desires are out of order. And then the world system around us, our people around us, or the way we're living our lives around us, will come in and normalize that. I'm going to tell you, I've got a right to tell you. Well, where'd they get that? Because that's a lie. Or just use that for the world today. Well, the deception that people are that the devil's telling people about people's bodies and who they're supposed to get together with. And then the world has normalized that. So it works on every level. It works in your thinking. It works people around you. I mean, the dumbest stuff can come out of this church. I can remember hearing a woman saying, I probably told y'all this before, but the woman saying, you know, Brother Copeland's going to divorce Gloria because he's going to marry me. Now, that's like the stupidest thing you've ever heard. But in her mind, she let the devil deceive her and blow that up and start going after something she shouldn't go after. That's ridiculous. Yet things like that get normalized. That people play these scenarios over and over in their heads of, well, this could be right. Church, the Bible's right. And it's not going to change. All right. Now, so the flesh will pick this stuff up. And then the world around us, or even just our brains, normalize our action. Now, I'm going to go after something here, and y'all can listen up to this. There is this thing, particularly with certain age groups that I've been around, that say this, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. I need a while. I'm not ready yet. Well, when are you going to be ready? I'm not ready to forgive. I'm not ready to move on. I'm not ready to talk about it. When are you going to be ready? Because that right there is your problem. That is your problem, that you just get ready. Make a choice. You're like, well, Pastor, that's hard. No, that's easy. Because all you're doing is relying on your flesh when you're, quote, not ready. Now, I understand sometimes if you're having like a war with your spouse or something, you may want to say, wait a minute. Give me a minute. You know, give me a minute. Don't want to say anything I shouldn't say. Right. Yeah. You may have said, hold on. Wait, give me a little. But then remember this, sun going down,
right.
Sun going down. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You're going to have to say, honey. Sun going down. Sun going down. You know, but that's the way it's going to have to be. And with them, your friends, with our relationships, you're going to have to make choices. This hiding and putting up walls and you trying to protect yourself is not God. Thank God Jesus didn't try to protect himself. I'm not ready yet. And here's the big one. Well, I'm hurt. Man, this has been driven into the ground, this thing about I'm hurt, I'm hurt, I'm so hurt, I'm so hurt. Join the club. Join the club. We've all been hurt. Every one of us here have hurt. Hurt people hurt people. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're hurting, you still have no right to be disrespectful. You have no right to be rude, and you have no right to be shut off. You got to be like Joyce and Dave. Hello, everyone. If you have to do that, you have to do it. But we're called to love one another, and whatever level you need to do that, to love one another. And you may have to say, I don't know if I'm smiling big enough because I've had a rough day, but I do love you. But I'm hurt. That is just drama. You're being hard, Pastor. I'm trying to help you not live in that. Because it's only hurting you and it's pushing people away from you. Because some people are not going to come back around to you if you're complaining and you won't let them in and you put up walls and all that. They're going to say bye-bye to you, and you're going to wish they didn't. Yeah. Well, you know, I've heard this in the church. You know, I'm not talking to anyone in the church because I just feel like I need to hunker and protect. I'm like, that ain't God. Hi, Jesse. I don't feel good today, but I'm going to smile at you, and I'm going to love you today because that's what I'm called to do. Are we going to grow up?
Yes, we are.
You don't know how I feel. I promise you I do. If you could see the stab wounds in my back for 20 years of this, you would know I understand it. I mean, you know, here's this, here's that. We give you this, we give you that. We do this, we do that. Here's some money. We put all this into you. They never did anything for me. I've heard that so many times around here. Believe me, it doesn't feel good. But you know what? See, I have a grace to do this.
Yeah.
So I ain't leaving you. And I'm not quitting.
Yeah.
Because I love you.
Amen.
Y'all want to know my secret thing that I say to Deb? sometimes people hurt our feelings, and just like yours, and you know, and but this is what I say. I can't leave Mata.
That's what
you're... I always say, I can't leave Mata. She's always here. She's always been there. You know what I'm saying? I just say, I can't leave Mata. I can't, cause you know, sometimes you want to say, shut the door, let everybody go to hell, you know. Don't say you don't feel like that. We've all felt like that. I'm talking about making choices above how you feel. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's good.
You make choices about how you feel, and we have the grace to do it.
Yeah, right.
There's just the grace to do it. So I guess this is the grow up message tonight. And I think we're all well on our way, but this is what the Lord gave me. I was actually going with another subject, and he said, I want you to talk about observing lying vanities. I want you to do it. So we can put this in our cart and use it as we move forward, because we are in the last days and we're winning people. Me and you, me and y'all and itty bitty Bobby, we're winning people to Jesus. And itty bitty Bobby is going to grow up to be stronger than I was when I was a kid, because he's going to have more, or she, they're going to have more revelation. Yeah, y'all quit that. More revelation than what we did. Our children, I'm determined that our children are going to grow up and not live in...
Yeah. Amen.
I was in my 30s, early 30s, when I found out that I needed to reckon myself dead to the flesh. I went away to a school and had them teach me how to behave, and it really helped me. It really helped me, because I knew that I needed to move self out of the center. Life is not all about me. Well, boy, it's going to be about Carter's grandchildren for me. It's about you. That's what my life is about. It's about you. Okay, so church, they spit on Jesus. They pulled out his beard. They beat him. They mocked him. They gambled for his clothes. And they hung him on a cross with nails. So I think we can put on our big boy and girl clothes, because we've never suffered like that, and we never will. And Deb often tells me, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus, because he did all that for us. So I think sometimes that we get just a little too petty. I mean, there are people jumping in the ocean right now to get away from fires. So I think we can put up with what the heat a little bit, because we're here, we're safe. I asked the Lord, I said, how come I'm having to put up with this drought and heat? And he said, you're not. I went, oh. He said, lights are on in Goshen. Be cool. And this morning, the clouds just filled the sky over our house. It stayed cool in the morning. John was going, I smell rain. I smell rain. I smell rain. And you could smell it. It was in the air. Keep smelling it, because we're going to have it. Don't give up. I think we need to toughen up a little bit, you know. Praise the Lord. Y'all mad at me yet? All right, let me work on that a little more then. Okay, now. No. So let's look at the help. Let's look at the answer. So y'all will like this part. Everybody can relax. I pulled the band-aids off. We're good. All the toes are okay. All right. So, and you know, I'm not saying this is happening to any of you. I have no idea. But what I am saying is, beware of it. Check yourself out. Okay. Psalm 23:6 says this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That word goodness and mercy right there, they shall follow me. they shall follow me. David was pursued by enemy all the time. He didn't get many breaks. So the thought behind this declaration is that goodness and mercy, or prosperity and favor, shall follow him, listen, and drive out the enemy. It'll drive out the enemy. Goodness and mercy will drive out the enemy. They're after you. I'm going to show you that. I'm going to show you that right here. So, does anybody watch the old cowboy movies? Okay, me and three people. Praise the Lord. Four. Okay, good. Me and all the boyfriends and one girl, Jesse. So, okay. So remember, they're getting in the shoot off and everything, and it gets real tight. And who shows up? The cavalry. And here they come rushing in, and everybody's running off because they're gonna get them. It's over. They were being chased. But here comes the cavalry. That's what goodness and mercy does. It chases the enemy. It chases the enemy. You're not too far gone. The enemy hasn't eaten all you up. You're all right. Forgive yourself. Get up. Move forward. You ain't got nothing on anybody. Pull up your cowboy boots and let the cavalry come in. Because goodness and mercy are the boots on the ground. And they're going to help you. They're going to help you get through what you need to get through. Amen. Now, a few years ago, Toby sent me a picture. Toby's my son, for anyone that doesn't know. He sent me this picture of, he was holding a Luger. Y'all know what a Luger is? And so it was taken off of a German officer who, by an American soldier. And the German officer was dressed up like a woman because he was running from the Americans. So he dressed up like a woman and took off running, but the Americans got him. Okay, they caught him. So in the war, right? So that's what the enemy does when goodness and mercy show up. That's what happens. Are y'all still here? The enemy flees. You need to get this picture in your head and start saying it. No, devil, goodness and mercy are chasing me. Goodness and mercy are chasing me. You're not getting my mind. You're not getting my thoughts. You're not getting my money. You're not getting my health. You're not getting my family. You're not taking my friends. You're not getting my church. You're not getting my business. You're not getting any of it. Goodness and mercy are following me. That's how we need to be about this. They're gonna drive your present enemy, your pursuers, right off the field. The original there is Tov, goodness, and Hesed. Tov and Hesed, to Radof after you. Radof means chase. So he's literally saying goodness, which everybody here knows what goodness is by now. You know, that's the theme of my whole life. So this goodness of God that is perfect. It's the best you can get. And then this Hesed, which is a covenant love. Talk about that in a minute. They're chasing you. And, you know, perhaps all you've seen is the enemy. And maybe it's because religion just taught you to look for trouble. Or maybe what Mama and them said, if it's going to go wrong, everything's going to go wrong. However you were raised, we've come out of that stuff. But I promise you right now, goodness and mercy are on the job. Right now, they're on the job. Right now, they're on the job. So I'm just going to tell you this. If you can see it, you can have it. If you'll observe it, if you'll observe, get this out. Turn to Psalm 23 and go, oh, look, goodness and mercy. See, devil, goodness and mercy are following me.
That's good. Yeah.
And they're chasing you right now because I've had enough of you.
Amen.
Listen, and don't sit up here and be thinking, boy, I hope so-and-so's listening to this because they really need this because they've been acting like a big baby and I'm tired of it. No, this is for you. We're not pointing fingers at people.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Psalm 27:13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 34:8 says, open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to him. Go to him. Go to him. He's still good. He didn't do it. Go to him. Talk to him. If you don't understand what's going on, ask him. Lord, I don't know. I pray the eyes of my understanding are enlightened. Show me. Give me perception. Show me how what I'm doing, how I'm missing this, whatever it might be. Amen. So he says, stop and realize that God is good. And when you lean on him or take refuge in him or depend on him, the blessing then will be at work for you. If you're going to go the other way, the blessing's going to stop. Because why? You're toiling. Toiling is not just you overworking, which you can. You weren't made to work 7 days a week. You're supposed to rest. Well, I love my job, so that's my rest. That's a lie of the devil. You're supposed to rest in God and do other things. Amen. Just stop that roll. Stop and listen to him. Amen. Now, God is good all the time is something everybody says, but it's not a cliche. It's not a Christian cliche. It is good. And Psalm 105 says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. The question is, can you see it? Can you see it? We need to focus, focus. Have you ever driven through intense rain? I know you'd like to think about that right now. Intense rain, right? But what happens? So you have to turn off the radio. Yeah. You usually turn off the radio and you ask everybody to quiet down a little bit maybe. And, you, when it's intense rain, you can't just stop. You got to keep going. It's too dangerous because you don't know who's behind you and such. You stop talking, turn off the music, and you focus completely. You focus completely. Intense focus restricts what you're willing and able to see.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Okay? And while this approach will keep you from seeing many things, it will also open your eyes to see more of what you want to look at or what you're hungry for. Stop and focus. So if the whole world's falling apart around you, Psalm 23, do this. Not, Lord, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to do, what will I do, what will I do, what are we going to do, what are we going to do? Nothing. You're going to go and focus. The bills do, the bills do. Focus. They're mad, focus. I feel cheated, focus. I don't have the answers, focus. Pull it in, focus. I don't like what pastor's preaching, focus. Because we can't leave Mata. I'm going to write a sermon about that called I Can't Leave Mata. Praise the Lord. Look, okay, so I'm going to say two words, and you think about the first thing that comes. One word will come into your mind when I say two words. Ready? You ready? Everybody ready? You're so cute without that beard. I feel like I want to kiss you on the cheek. No, that's not it. I just wanted to talk. I keep looking at him like, who is this young man that's so handsome? Okay. I mean, I liked your beard. Okay. I liked your beard. But you're just cute. Okay. You see, you can see his dimples. All right. Now, ready for the two words? Jerry Savelle. Brother Jerry. Focused on what God told him to.
Yeah.
Favor. Come on, I'm helping somebody. You can use this in every area of your life. You can use this in business. You can in every, if you, what you focus on.
Yeah.
What you focus on. Right? What you're getting a vision for. So, Brother Jerry focuses on favor. That's the call on his life. So when we hear Brother Jerry, what do we get? What did we get last week? A big dose of favor. I have a whole shop full of motorcycles and Corvettes, and God's been so good to me, and this turned out right. And you're like, focus. Focus on goodness coming. Yeah, but you don't know. People are hating on me. Focus. And those enemies will leave you. Just focus. Okay, now, so we're focusing. So the enemy tries something, but what does Brother Jerry say? I'm the favorite child. You can't get me. Look who's standing behind me. Yeah. See what I'm saying? So he focuses on favor. Now listen to me, you'll get this. Then that favor becomes an anointing. And what does the anointing do? It removes burdens and destroys yokes. So it runs off those things that are trying to get in the way of your success. So can you see how goodness and hesed are, tov and hesed, goodness and mercy, if you focused on them, you have a whole package of what would run everything else off. The anointed would come along, because what is goodness? Goodness is the best fruit possible, right? The purpose is fulfilled, and hesed is, I'm going to tell you what hesed is. It is the tender heart of God that overlooks all your stuff and treats you better than you deserve. He's disposed to be compassionate and show you favor. You can't even say enough English words to say hesed. There's just loving kindness, tender mercy. But charity's the closest, because it's a giving covenant love. It's not, sure do love you, hope you work that out. I'm going to stand back here and watch you get punished. That's not God. He'll be right there. He'll be right there to just scoop you up, carry you like a little baby, and give you a face and do what he needs to do and help you. He sure will. He will. He'll do it every time. He's knocking. It's chasing you. Get caught. I had some boyfriends that chased me. Cowboys. Right, girls? You know. Yeah. Uh-huh. Some of them had the last name of Wallace. Cute like you, too. And then there was some that chased me, and I was like, no. They're not catching me. But some of those others, I'm going to stop right here. That's the truth. You'll be caught by the right thing, because God loves you. He loves you. He's got you. He's saying, I got you, baby. I got you. We're all right. We got you. Church, if you press into him a little bit, no matter what people say and do. I had somebody call me and just ring me out. Couple of days, just took me. And we had a conversation. And when I got off, I looked at Deb and I said, I really love them. And I meant it. Yeah. I really love them. Yeah. And I really do. Yeah. I didn't have to try. I was like, there's really great things about them. They're just being a stinker right now. It'll be okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can do this. We can do this. Think about the persecution that Brother Copeland's been through. We have no idea how that feels. I mean, it's been, 54 years, something like that. And I mean, they started on him a long time ago, and they've said everything hell can imagine. And he keeps loving people. He keeps loving people. He gave finances to people that talked ugly about him. I'm going to grow up to be like that.
Yes. Amen.
I'm going to be able to say, I love you even if you hate me.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Now, so sometimes you just need to turn off everything else and focus on that goodness and mercy, and he's going to come through. Amen? You're going to have to decide whether you're going to focus on the trouble or the mercy. I will be there for you either way, but I'm going to stand on the mercy side. We have to adjust our focus. Anybody take a lot of pictures? You like your camera? Back in the old days, we shot 35 millimeter cameras, Nikons, Canons. And, so you had to put film in it and then you would take it in. So I was amateur photographer. I loved it. But the way we learned to shoot, pictures back then is the first thing you have to do is you have to frame what you're going to take a picture of. So you've seen pictures of grandma and them, like my old father-in-law, back when I was married, when I was very young, he had one of those, Polaroids. And so it was out at Christmas time, you know, and he had to take pictures of all. He was a big old tall man, real, real sweet man. And he would take the picture and then he had a finger missing and he'd wave that picture. And when he'd show it, we would all be standing like this and the Christmas tree would only be half in the picture. And you know, but you have to frame your picture. And that's what they teach you in the first thing in photography. Frame your picture. Look, get in what you're looking at. Now, cameras nowadays kind of help you with that, right? Your phone kind of does that, you know. So you have to frame your picture. So you're going to have to focus. And then you have to adjust what's called an aperture. Anybody remember aperture? Okay. And so that's how much light you're going to let in. And then... If you're a real photographer and you're not using automatics, then you have to adjust your shutter speed, which is how long you're going to let light in. So how much light and how long you're going to let it in is going to depend on what the picture turns out to be. And if it's a moving picture, the shutter speed has to come down because you can't let a light in or you're going to have blur, right? I'm going somewhere. So, how long the light comes in. Focus, let the light in, and how long are you going to let it in? Okay? Snap the picture, the light hits the film, and now it's on file. Goodness and mercy. Click. Okay? Okay, I got it. It's on my heart right now. Goodness and mercy's following me. Goodness and mercy. It went on file. It's on the negative and it's going to produce a positive. Right? That they had negatives in those days. Okay. The kids are like, what are you talking about? So, but you have to let the light in to get it. Now, am I right? You're a digital cameraman. Today you still have to have light. You still have to let light in to get a good picture. Did you hear me? You have to let light in to get a good picture. If you're over here in the darkness, I hate them. They hate me. I ain't speaking to them. They've done this. They've done that. Y'all need to straighten up. That church cheated me. Blah, blah. All that stuff is nothing but devil darkness. They cheated me down at that store. That's all just dark. Let light in.
Yeah.
That boy broke my heart. I'm going to hate him. I'm going to tell everybody at school. No. Mm-mm. Let light in. Let enough light in to get the picture nailed down in your spirit so that you can pick up some goodness and mercy, and they're going to run that devil out of there and they're going to help you have the best life ever.
Amen.
Church, goodness will run lack out. Mercy will run you feeling rejected out. Receive God's mercy. Receive His love. Yeah, I can. Most of us have at least one person who has our back. We all have one. It's called Jesus, right? But even in this world, we usually have at least one person who would have our back, right? You got to start thinking that way. Goodness and mercy have my back. Well, me and my husband, we argue all the time. I don't feel like he has my back. Well, get into some goodness and mercy, and that'll change. Get on the glass being full. You're like, well, no, you don't understand. He needs to change. Listen to all the whales going off here. He probably does need to change. But that's not who you're looking at. You got to deal with yourself. We should hear this about once a month, you know. This helps me. I'm like, Roxanne Alexander, you stay out of pity parties. You don't need to feel sorry for you because so-and-so did this or they did that or they talked about you. There's no use in even going there. We don't have time. Jesus is coming. America needs to get saved. The world needs to change. We need to use every word we have to get things done and not just be thinking about ourselves. Well, I think he wrote this sermon because of me. Yeah, well. I didn't write it. The Holy Ghost gave it to me. I'm not an agenda preacher. I made a promise. I'm not breaking it. This is what he said. So this must be what we need. We. All right. He who observes lying vanities. Let's finish this. We're almost done here. Observe means to attend, to guard, to regard, to preserve, to hedge about. Vanities is emptiness, no results, something transitory, unsatisfactory. If you observe these lies, they'll cause you to miss out on the mercy that has been designated for you. Don't look over that. That's a scripture, church. It's a scripture. It's a scripture. It's telling you, if you observe the darkness, you're going to miss out on what God has. Don't look over there. Think about all that sleep Jesse Duplantis lost that night when he thought a booger was in his room. Right? And A coat? It was a raincoat blowing in the fan. And he thought it was a demon spirit in the corner. He's rebuking it and everything. That sounds silly to us, but actually, that's a tendency to how we can all be. We're looking at things that don't even exist. Darkness just produces a dark negative. He who observes lying vanities, I told you that. So, you know how sad it is when people can't get past themselves. In the name of Jesus, heal up. God loves us. Let's all heal up now. Let's all heal up. Let's just heal up. Let's have mercy on each other. Let's just heal up. No attitudes. Let's just heal up. People will get so messed up, they'll end up taking totally different roads than God led them on. And they'll end up in the totally wrong place because they just couldn't stop the darkness. But we can. We can. Goodness and mercy's following us. We will. We won't get stuck there. I'm not willing for another person to jump off in darkness. We're going to have this. We will not stare at lies. You're not broke. I'm going to tell you a secret. You're not in debt if you don't want to be. You can come right out. You're not losing. You haven't lost. You're not sick unto death. You're healed. All of these things belong to you. I'm not much about popular. I'm about purpose. But you might as well just look yourself in the mirror and say, you know, people love me. Because somebody does. Somebody loves you. I do. Mother does. Jesse loves me. I know you love me. He's my baby. Bobby loves his snarky pastor. And I love you. I love you all. We just need to stop looking at the lies. Stop looking at the lies. We're all going to win. We're all going to have it. We're in my own personal life, if I could get everybody in here out of debt, if I had the finances to pay you all out of debt today, I'd do it. Some of y'all would probably get right back into it, but I would do. No, I'm kidding. I would do everything I could to help you. But guess what? There's somebody bigger than me that will do it. I'm just going to pray that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that our understanding is enlightened. Thank you for blessing this house. We invite goodness and mercy today. We make a quality decision to look away from lying vanities and to live in the mercies of God. Father, for every person who is hurting, we don't disregard that, Lord. We know people are hurting. But for that to become a crutch, and for people to stay in that when we can be healed. I speak healing over broken hearts. I speak healing over things that have brought forth mishaps and rejection. And I declare mercy and grace and blessing and prosperity and being accepted in the beloved over all of our people in Jesus' name. Amen.